The most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome to Oak Ridge Nissan. It is their incredible sale that's going on right now, the Rocktoberfest. So come by and take advantage of that at Oak Ridge Nissan. Now time for the sports fix at 6, and we're going to be giving away a $25 gift card to Edwin Watts Golf. Edwin Watts Golf has been offering top-line golf equipment at the lowest prices since 1968, located at Turkey Creek. All right, here's a trivia question. Mississippi State, Tennessee's upcoming opponent Saturday, has a winning record against three SEC teams. Name those three SEC teams. Mississippi State has a winning record against three SEC teams. Name them. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Let's go to Danny. Danny, you're on the Sports Fix.
Jimmy, how are you?
Hey, Danny.
Hey, Jimmy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Hope you are, too.
I reckon. Okay. Three teams. Let's see. South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and Missouri.
You got one right. Your guess in the middle was
okay.
Correct. Yeah.
All
okay.
Right, thank you.
Thanks, Danny. Let's go to Scott. Scott, you're on the Sports Fix.
Let's go Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Arkansas.
Oh, man, you're so close. Your first two are correct.
Okay,
your first two are right, Scott. Good
thank
try.
You.
Good try. Once again, Mississippi State has a winning record against three SEC teams. Name them. We've got two of them that have been guessed. Let's go to Al. Al, you're on the Sports Fix.
Yes, I'll guess Arkansas, Vanderbilt, and Ole Miss.
You only got one that time. Yeah, just got one.
Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Al. Let's go to Tyler. Tyler, you're on the Sports Fix.
Yeah.
Hey, Tyler.
Hey, let's go Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Tennessee.
It's not Tennessee. Your first two guesses were correct, but it's not Tennessee. It's another team from the West. But good try. Thanks, Tyler. Let's go to Mark. Mark, you're on the Sports Fix.
Vandy, Kentucky, and Ole Miss.
Not Ole Miss.
Wow. Thanks, sir.
All right, appreciate it. Let's go to John. John, you're on the Sports Fix.
Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Ole Miss.
Not Ole Miss.
Ah.
Yep. Okay, thanks, John. You got two out of three. We've got that elusive other team, and they're a team from the West Division. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Let's go to Tom. Tom, you're on the Sports Fix.
So we've heard Kentucky, Vandy, and I think Texas A&M.
There you go. A&M, that's the one. Those are the three teams that Mississippi State has a winning record against. Congratulations to you, Tom. You have won a $25 gift card to Edwin Watts Golf. We're going to put you on hold and get that gift card to you. Good job.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, sir. And that'll do it for the Sports Fix at 6, but that won't do us from Oak Ridge Nissan because, by golly, we got the Rocktoberfest going on. Scott,
right.
How are you?
I'm doing good, Jimmy.
I bet you sold a dozen cars since we just visited with you.
We're rolling. Drive out TAG Motors. People pulling out of here. I'll tell you what, folks. Listen, if you can hear the sound of my voice, it is Rocktoberfest. And so our lowest prices of the year, Rogue starting at $18,788, Sentra starting at $13,988. And Jimmy, we're pulling all the plugs on the trade-ins up to $9,000, whether it drives or not. $11,000 if it's what it takes to make a deal. Whatever another dealer will do, this is what you need to know. And you folks seem to get this here in East Tennessee. we're just going to crush them and beat their deal, because that's why we're the number one Nissan dealer in all of East Tennessee.
And you can get up to $7,000 over the Kelley Blue Book.
That's right. If they, you know, other dealers are doing, I think, $5,000 is what I've been hearing. Yeah. We're stone crushers, Jimmy. We crush their stones. And I'll tell you what, you've got to do that. You've got to step into these cars, and it makes it where I can pay off their trade no matter what they owe. Other dealers are saying they need $5,000 down, $10,000 down. You know, we can do it. We can do it with no money down. And, Jimmy, what's going on during Rocktoberfest, people are leaving here with the same or lower payment on a brand-new Nissan. Than wow. what they came in on. So, you know, it's wow. pretty exciting. You know, they've been thinking about, dreaming about, and hoping. And but you make that 10-minute drive, folks, and you're going to, you know, you look in the Webster's Dictionary and you see pandemonium, you're going to see the picture of Oak Ridge Nissan, because that's what we do, create pandemonium.
And for every car sold, donating $50 to breast cancer awareness.
That's exactly right. And so it's a win-win. No matter what happens this Saturday, folks, you're going to get a W when you make the 10-minute drive, because we sell about 250 cars a month, and $50 for every single car is going to breast cancer awareness. And so we've found the cure for to save thousands of dollars. We're very good at that. We make dreams come true every day, but we are going to find the cure for breast cancer. And so we're privileged to participate in that. And so thank you, guys. Thank you, all of East Tennessee, all you Sports Talk faithful listening listeners, your Vol fans. Go Big Orange, and go Oak Ridge Nissan.
Scott, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you, Jimmy.
Us. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, my friend.
That's
you
Scott,
too.
Scott Groff. All right. When we come back, we will have a Tennessee football practice report. This is Sports Talk, Sports Radio, WNML.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
Guys, I'm bringing the party to you.
This is Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome back to Sports Talk on The Sports Animal. We come to you from Oak Ridge Nissan, where they've got the Rocktoberfest sales going on. Great deals on the Sentra, the Rogue, the Ultimate. Remember, all of these get terrific gas mileage as well. Now time for a Tennessee football practice report brought to you by Pools by Heritage. And for that, we go to Eric Kane. Eric, how are you?
Jimmy, I'm doing well. How was the 10-minute drive today?
It was fantastic. I made it 9. Unbelievable.
Overachiever
yes.
right
yes.
there.
Yes.
Tennessee and Mississippi State tomorrow at noon inside Neyland Stadium. Maybe the first time Tennessee's played host to the Bulldogs of Mississippi State since 2008. And the first time the two teams have squared off since 2012, where Mississippi State won 41-31. Tennessee does lead the all-time series 28-16-1, looking for win number 29 tomorrow. A touchdown underdog. Obviously, Tennessee will have its work cut out for them. And stopping Kylan Hill, leading the SEC in rushing, 596 yards, is top 10 in the nation in that regard. He averages 119 yards per game. And here's the kicker, too, and something Tennessee struggled with on defense. Wrapping up, taking down the ball carrier on first tackling attempt, 344 yards after contact. That will be a challenge for the university tomorrow.
Do you also think it's going to be a challenge for Tennessee to stop the runs from the Mississippi State quarterbacks? Schrader's the better runner. He's averaging 6.8 yards a carry. Stevens also can run. He's better in the pocket. But do you think stopping the run game from the state quarterbacks is also a key?
I do, because Tennessee struggled with it the first 2 weeks of the season. You take what Georgia State did to Tennessee in the run game with some of the RPO and the zone reads, and then you follow that up with what Wilson did against for BYU, excuse me, and then Trask did a little bit as well. He didn't do it a lot, but down there in Gainesville, he ran the football as well. So if I'm Mississippi State, if I'm not going with Schrader out of the chute tomorrow, I'm going to play him, because he has proven that he can give defenses some worrisome ability there trying to tackle him. And, I mean, he nearly has as many rushing yards as Tennessee's leading rusher in Ty Chandler. And that, again, that's just something Tennessee has struggled with, stopping the quarterback run on the opposition. Tommy Stevens, you mentioned he can run. He's shown that ability, but he's more of a passer. If I'm Mississippi State, I mean, I'm rolling with Schrader until I can't, because I think he would give that team the best chance to beat Tennessee tomorrow.
In regard to Tennessee's offensive line, there were, I guess it was as many as four that came out of the game against Georgia. Trey Smith did go back in. Brandon Kennedy, bruised knee, didn't go through drills on Wednesday. Jamar Johnson hadn't played in the last three games. How concerned are you about the health of Tennessee's offensive line?
I think it is a concern, and though there was a lot of those guys back at practice on Tuesdays and Wednesdays when the media were in attendance, it's still a concern. Jameer Johnson did more this week than we've seen him do the last 3 weeks combined, so that's a good sign. Trey Smith, of course, not a full contact participant Tuesdays and Wednesdays, but he did a lot in there. And, of course, as you mentioned, he came back into the game. Riley Locklear was just watching. It looked like he might still be in that protocol for a potential concussion. He potentially won't play tomorrow. And if he doesn't play, who's going to step in? Is it going to be Ryan Johnson? Well, Brandon Kennedy didn't take part in drills on Wednesday. Jeremy Pruitt downplayed it, said he just had a little sore knee, and he said that's all that was. But say Brandon Kennedy were to not play or have to miss some time, are you going to put Jerome Carvin in at center? Are you going to put Ryan Johnson in at center? If it's Ryan Johnson, who comes in at guard? Will it be another freshman in Chris Ott-Perogne, who Jeremy Pruitt is very high on? So that's a concern. Darnell Wright and Kyron Calvert, who came out in back-to-back plays in the fourth quarter, they were practicing this week, so that looks like they're going to be okay. But, you know, potentially another starting lineup tomorrow, most likely another starting lineup, another starting five for the offensive linemen with consistency to the left side and being Wanya Morris and Trey Smith. Brandon Kennedy, you would assume, would be okay. If it's not Locklear, like I mentioned, is it going to be Johnson? Then is it going to be Wright? Could it be Wright at guard? And then Kayron Calvert at tackle. You saw that five against Florida, and Jeremy Pruitt said that he believed that might have been the best showing from the offensive line on the season so far. So some question marks any way you spin it. Again, it's that point in the season where everyone's a little bit banged up. But when that many offensive linemen appear on the injury report, it's obviously a concern.
Do you think Tennessee will have a different game plan for Brian Maurer, who threw for 259 yards in his debut against Georgia?
I just think you need to keep it simple. And again, the more and more Brian Maurer plays, the more and more he's going to get comfortable adapting to defenses. You saw Georgia change some things up. Brian Maurer struggled, or, you know, obviously wasn't as sharp as he was in the first half. I mean, he went from 205 yards to 54 yards in an interception from half one to half two. Keep it simple. Play to his strengths, which is a little RPO, allowing him to get out of the pocket, make some things happen, doing some play action. I just think Tennessee's going to keep it simple and try to ride the hot hand. But, you know, so Tennessee's obviously going to go with Maurer because it's something that's been igniting that offense. You know, last week from Mississippi State, you're going to ride the hot hand at Galen Hill. And if you're Tennessee's defense, I'm going to load the box. I'm going to stop Hill. I'm going to do everything I can to stop Hill or try to limit Hill. You're not going to stop him completely. You're not going to shut him down. Try to limit him and make Schrader and or Tommy Stevens throw the football to beat you. Tennessee has struggled in the pass rush. But again, if you stop the number one strength, you're looking at an offense, an opposing offense that is, 13th in the SEC, 14th in the SEC at only 191 yards through the air a game. So I would play those odds if I were UT in trying to stop Mississippi State's offense.
Any other news or notes?
That'll about do it. It's been another week of practice. Tennessee trying to get healthy and trying to get to the win column, looking for win number one in the Southeastern Conference tomorrow. It'll be noon, SEC Network, but of course you can hear it right here on The Sports Animal. Game day, all day coverage will begin early in the morning, and post-game shows following Vol Network coverage right here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Today's UT football practice report's brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Get your pool started now, from design to construction to maintenance. One call does it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527 or visit online at poolsbyheritage.com.
Eric, we appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Jimmy.
All right, that's Eric Kane with our football practice report. Let's now get an injury report. And that injury report is brought to you by OrthoKnox. Whether you're an athlete, active senior, or weekend warrior, OrthoKnox can get you back in the game. Well, we heard about that Tennessee offensive line during the course of the game against Georgia. Darnell Wright, Kayron Calvert, Riley Locklear, Trey Smith all left the game with various injuries. Trey Smith did return. Locklear did not. He's got a head injury, and it's likely he is not going to play. Darnell Wright and Calvert should be back. Tennessee offensive lineman Jameer Johnson has missed his third game in a row. It's not known if he's going to be ready for Mississippi State, but it would certainly help Tennessee on that offensive lineman. At cornerback, Warren Burrell tweaked his ankle in practice the week before the Georgia game, didn't play. He would be, I would consider, to be listed as probable. And the same for cornerback Alante Taylor. He's been bothered by a hip flexor, but he should be okay. Also, Aubrey Solomon, defensive tackle. Now, he played just 18 snaps against Georgia. He's been having trouble with his knee and with his shoulder. it looks like he is going to play, but that's really important for Tennessee in dealing with the run game of Mississippi State. And center Brandon Kennedy has a bruised knee. He did not dress for Wednesday's practice. We'll see if he's going to be able to go. I think it's likely he will play. And another note, it's not necessarily injury-related, but Quarvarius Crouch was moved from outside linebacker to inside linebacker because Tennessee has had three inside linebackers who have left the team within the last couple of weeks. Tennessee taking on Mississippi State Saturday at noon at Neyland Stadium. Our Tennessee injury report is brought to you by OrthoKnox. They've got two locations, one at Turkey Creek Medical Center and one at Athens Medical Center as well. Excellent care, exceptional results. Call 865-251-3030. Let's go ahead and get our Tennessee football preview right now. And our preview is brought to you by Holco Windows and Doors, where you'll find professional installation and friendly service. Let's hear from Jeremy Pruitt, Tennessee's head coach. He was on the SEC teleconference earlier this week, had a chance to ask him several questions about his team and about the upcoming opponent. Here comments from Jeremy Pruitt.
You know, when you look at Mississippi State starting offensively, you see a team that's very committed to running the football. They played multiple quarterbacks this year that have been very efficient. Both of them can make all the throws. They can read any loose play, run play, whatever you want to call it. They're threats running the football. You know, they've got a big offensive line that has some experience up there. Got tight ends that seem like they've been playing for a long time. To me, they have done a very nice job recruiting wide receivers since the last time I've played them, and got guys that that are big and athletic out there that can, you know, create problems when you play man-to-man. You know, Kylan Hill is one of the best running backs in the entire country. He's a guy that can make you miss, runs with power, got good hands, can score from anywhere on the field defensively. You know, they're very opportunistic. You know, lots of takeaways. They create problems, create negative plays. They're strong in the kicking game because they've got runners and strikers. And, you know, it'll be a tremendous challenge for us. It's a great opportunity for us to continue to improve. You know, so we're excited about this opportunity.
Hey, Jeremy, would you talk a little bit about Quarvarius Crouch and why he might have the ability to play outside linebacker and inside linebacker?
You know, when we recruit linebackers, we would like to sign guys that are what we would call four for four. That means they could play any four of the positions. So that means they're instinctive enough to play behind the line of scrimmage and inside linebacker, and have awareness to diagnose plays, and have ability to drop into coverage, can play man-to-man, are good blitzers. And then you have guys that can line up on the edge, can win in the C area, have ability to rush the quarterback. Q's one of those guys. You know, if we were going to sign four linebackers in a class, we would like for two of them to be that way, and maybe one of them be an inside linebacker only, another one be an outside linebacker only. But he's a guy that can do both.
Also, would you like to get Dominic Wood Anderson more involved in the passing game?
You know, Dom is he's a guy that has playmaking ability. I think he's a guy that's hard to guard. He's really improved this year, and I think he has big play potential, and absolutely. I feel like that we have some playmakers on the offensive side. We've struggled to get them the ball early in the season, but I think as the season has, or starting last week, we had an opportunity to get some of these guys the ball a little more, and we've got to continue to do that.
When you look at Mississippi State on film, how much do you see them blitzing on defense, and how can you help Brian, you know, recognize those blitzes on Saturday?
Well, they pressure a lot. You know, they're probably, if you looked at them from a base standpoint, they're really a quarter-quarter halves team that lines up in four down front and also odd. But they generate a five-man rush a lot. Sometimes they play fire zone coverage behind it. Sometimes they play man-to-man. And you'll every once in a while you'll get some alternative coverages. So they do a really nice job giving different looks to the defense, and you know, and they've done a nice job attacking the football, getting the ball off of folks. They've got some runners and hitters over there, and Coach Shoup has done a really good job since he's been there.
And then following up on Jimmy's question on Crouch, how close is he being ready to contribute at inside linebacker, especially having, you know, practiced at that position some previously?
Well, that's the thing. His cue is he practiced 15 days at that during spring training. He done it the entire summer. We did not move him to outside linebacker until fall camp. I always like to take young guys like that and teach them inside out, a guy like him. So we knew that he was a guy that could play both positions. It's a lot easier to teach them to go forward than it is to go backwards, and we teach everything by concept. So it's really been a seamless transition, him going back and taking a few reps there at inside.
Any injury update in particular with Solomon and Burrell?
You know, Warren, he practiced both days this week. He actually was injured, I think it was Wednesday of last week. And, you know, he really wanted to play Saturday, and he worked hard to try to get there. He just wasn't hardly ready. But I see both of those guys being available on Saturday.
Well, Riley Locklear, is there any update with him? I think you mentioned he had his bell rung.
You know, he's being evaluated, and he's participated going through the protocol that we have, and, you know, he would be a game-time decision.
Also, when you face a team that has mobile quarterbacks that like to run, does that put more pressure on your linebackers or your defensive backs in terms of being able to recognize the quarterback when he's running?
Well, I think it puts pressure on the defensive play caller. You know, you have to have awareness. If you play coverage and you're running with people down the field and you're rushing four guys, you have to be able to manage the quarterback. You know, there's ways that especially these guys and the runs that they have on offense, you know, there's lots of read plays that that they do, and it stretches you from sideline to sideline. You throw that in with their RPO game. They make you defend all the grass.
That's Jeremy Pruitt. Let's hear now from Najee Warrior, Tennessee safety. He was asked about how important it is for Tennessee to generate a pass rush.
Pass rush helps us a lot. You know, our coaches always say is a good pass rush is a good back-end defense, and a good back-end defense is a good pass rush. So I think the pass rush helps us out a lot, you know, and it helps us, you know, break down from running around a lot. You know, when the quarterback breaks the pocket, you know, I think that it helps with us not having to run around so much and actually having to chase a receiver. You know what I'm saying? So with all the time that a quarterback could have with the pass rush knocking it down, I think that it really helps us a lot.
Do y'all need more of that?
Do we need more?
I mean,
what you think?
I would say yes.
You think we do?
I would say you need more pass rush.
Well, I mean, we need more pass rush. I mean, I think the guys are doing what they can. And I know they can do better. You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to put nobody down. No, my dudes, no, my guys. And I think the pass rush, you know, it could be better, but, I mean, I'm with them. I'm with them for whatever.
I asked Warrior about Tennessee's personnel.
Nigel, you hear people now and then say, well, Tennessee didn't have the talent to beat a Georgia or an Alabama or a Florida. How do you respond to that?
I'm not going to respond to that, man. I'm not dealing with that. I don't even want to hear about what everybody else got to say. My dudes, man, they my dudes, and we getting to where we need to be at, and we going to show somebody that.
And you like the talent level on this team?
I love the talent level. It ain't about the talent. It's just about us getting to who we are and knowing who we are in order to win a game. That's all it is.
That's Najee Warrior. Now, we had a chance to catch up with Wanya Morris for the first time, a five-star offensive lineman. He's not the only five-star offensive lineman Tennessee signed, so we asked Morris about that.
Is there any competition between you and Darnell Wright about who gets the most starts, who gets the most snaps in a game?
Not at all. We just play. We do whatever we got to do to help this team.
How close are you guys?
We're really close. We're roommates. We're really close.
Was that planned that way when you signed with Tennessee that y'all wanted to be roommates?
No, not really. It just happened. And I'm not mad about it.
He's not mad about being a roommate with Darnell. Also from Wanya Morris, who we really enjoyed visiting with, he talked about the need to be mean on the field, but his mom always told him he was a nice guy. Here's Morris.
Of course, I like people. I'm a people person, so like I've never really been a person to hurt people. But I've always liked football, so I had to learn to be like tougher. But I got there.
Did you get any penalties in high school?
Yes.
Not for just holding, but just being
yes.
tough for me.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah. I'm not going to say I didn't, but I got a few unnecessary roughness penalties. Just like I got one for like taking a guy to the ground too hard. I don't know. But it was fun. My coach embraced it. He was like a hard-nosed guy. So
you were playing through the whistle?
Yeah, I played it through the whistle.
You ever apologize to someone for hitting them too hard?
No.
Not that nice, then. Come on.
No, I'm not that nice.
Lineman Wanya Morris. Tennessee leads the series against Mississippi State 28-16 with one tie. State won the most recent meeting in Starkville. Tennessee won the most recent meeting in Knoxville 34-3. That was in 2008. State is a 6.5-point favorite. Kickoff is set for noon at Neyland Stadium. Our Tennessee football preview brought to you by Holco Windows and Doors, where you'll find professional installation and friendly service. When we come back, we'll have more Sports Talk, Sports Radio, WNML.
Name a more iconic duo than the Budweiser Studios and Cumulus Broadcasting. It's all right. I'll wait. This is Sports Radio, WNML.
Welcome back to Sports Talk as we come to you from Oak Ridge Nissan, where Oak Ridge, or where the Turnpike meets Illinois Avenue in Oak Ridge. Let's hear now from Joe Moorhead, head coach of Mississippi State. Team is 3-2. He's battled the issue with having to suspend so many players this year. These are Coach Moorhead's comments on the SEC teleconference.
Coming off a very productive bye week from a program development, recruiting, and game planning standpoint, I've had a good couple of days of practice, and excited to get back on the field against a very good Tennessee game in a challenging road environment.
The other day about potentially playing both quarterbacks on Saturday. Just curious as to how they looked in practice last night, Tuesday, and if that's still sort of the plan going forward, getting both guys on the field on Saturday.
No, I thought for the first day of practice in full pads, you know, they both had a solid day. You know, threw the ball around very well. I think as we mentioned on Monday, both were nicked up with kind of lower body things, so we're trying to get them, you know, healed up so they can be just as much of a factor in a run game as they are in a pass game. So excited to get back on the field today and, you know, work a bunch of situational stuff, you know, third down in red zone.
Do you have a strategy about what players you're going to use from week to week, and then when do you tell those players when they're going to play or when they're not going to play?
Yeah, a lot of that stuff was handled, you know, at the beginning of the season. And those kids are, you know, they're made well aware in advance.
Has that been a big distraction for this team?
I think it's very challenging in terms of, you know, game planning and depth and practice reps and things like that. But it hasn't been a distraction to the team, no, sir.
And what's the main difference between your quarterbacks, Stevens and Schrader?
I'd say experience. I think they're both guys that have strong arms that can throw the ball very well. They could both beat you with their feet. And, you know, Tommy obviously being a fifth-year guy and Garrett being a true freshman, I'd say the biggest thing is game experience and you know, football maturity.
I wanted to pick your brain on motion in the run game because I thought back to last year's Auburn game where y'all used motion to really open up your run game and run through Auburn that year. How can motion free up opportunities in a run game, and how can it make life tough on a defense trying to stop the run?
Yeah, looking back to that game 2 years ago, you know, with their you know, very physical and athletic defensive front and the linebackers who ran very well, you know, we didn't want them to allow them to get their cleats in the ground and didn't want them to be able to play downhill, so we wanted to create a little bit of misdirection, a little bit of, you know, indecision on their end, and, you know, we were able to run some of the power sucker game. You know, out of the motions and implemented some of that, you know, this past fall, obviously with less success, but certainly when you have a defensive line and a front seven as talented as Auburn's, you know, it's difficult to just line up and run the ball downhill at them with a consistent degree of success. So we want to try to do some things to make them play more horizontally than vertically.
What are some of the schematic things that an offense gains by introducing motion into its run game?
I'd say angles, blocking angles.
Joe, Kylan Hill leads the SEC in rushing. Just talk about what makes him such a good running back.
I think Kylan has matured a lot in the last year, both physically and mentally. You know, his approach in the offseason to strength and conditioning, getting his body ready for a season where we knew he was going to have a ton of carries was very impressive. And also with Coach Richardson, you know, who's played and coached at both the collegiate and NFL levels, I think that's been a good pairing with those guys and a good mentorship. But Kylan's a guy that's got, you know, small back skill and a big back body. He's a guy that can run tough between the tackles and get your four or five when it's blocked up for maybe two or three, but also a guy when he gets on the perimeter can run by or make people miss. And I think that's what makes him unique and special and why he's having a good year.
And you led the SEC in defense last year. You lost three first-round draft picks. Do you feel good about the way your defense has responded, having to replace so many good players?
Yeah, three first-round draft picks, all four starters on the defensive line, and then the three primary backups to the nose guard and the defensive tackle. So that was a ton of experience, a ton of starters, and particularly up front in the line of scrimmage football league. So we knew there were going to be some inexperience. We knew we were going to have to get, you know, the younger guys grown up quickly. You know, but I think outside of the Auburn game last week, where none of us would say was indicative of our style of play or how we want our team to perform, I think you're seeing the older guys perform at a very consistent level. You know, your Errol Thompsons, Cam Dancers, guys like that who have played a lot of football, and you're seeing the younger guys, you know, mature and improve on a weekly basis. You know, most notably, you know, Fabian Lovett and Jaden Crumley, the two interior defensive linemen.
And would you talk about the job Bob Shoup has done as your defensive coordinator?
Yeah, but Bob is a guy that I've known for a long time. I grew up in the town right next to me and has had consistently successful and productive defensive units at just about every place that he's been. You know, in college football, I know the Tennessee years were a bit of an anomaly, but bounced back strong last year. And, you know, he's a guy that I think does an excellent job putting the kids in position to be successful, you know, calls a good, strong, aggressive game and surrounded by a bunch of quality assistants. So I think Bob's one of the top defensive coordinators in the country.
That's Joe Moorhead. He is from Pittsburgh, and Bob Shoup from Oakmont, Pennsylvania. When we come back, we'll have more as we come to you from Oak Ridge. Nissan, this is Sports Talk on The Sports Animal.
The voices in our head may not be real, but they're loud and have some good ideas. This is 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk on The Sports Animal as we come to you from Oak Ridge Nissan. The Rocktoberfest sales event going on. Great deals on the Sentra, the Rogue, the Altima. And remember, they're donating $50 for every car sold to breast cancer awareness. Want to hear now from Jeremy Pruitt in regard to a topic that's been a concern. So Tennessee, against its four FBS opponents, has been outscored 71-19. They've not been finishing. They've not played that well in the second half, with rare exception. Jeremy Pruitt was asked, what do you think has led to Tennessee being outscored so badly in the second half?
Well, I think it starts with execution. It'd be interesting to see exactly the turnover margin from halftime on. You know, Saturday we were -2, and then we had one penalty. Where we've made some plays. It's one thing to get penalties, okay? It's another thing to get them when you're making positive plays, right? Two games in a row, we've got penalties for O linemen being too aggressive, okay? Number one, we can't break the rules, but and we'll learn to stop when they blow the whistle, but first they got to blow a whistle so we can stop. But I am excited to see that we got guys up front that are trying to finish people and put people into the ground, okay? That's a long ways from where we first started 22 months ago, okay? We couldn't find five offensive linemen to go out there to practice. All right, so now we're starting to have to slow them down. That's a good thing, okay? We got to get some discipline to understand not to make some mistakes. But I would say, Brent, probably turnovers, okay, maybe depth, maybe execution, maybe maturity, you know, the same plan that all of us have had wherever we've coached. You probably could have took a video and went in our locker room and went in Georgia's locker room. The operations of the coaching staff are probably identical when it comes to coaching the players because we coach every play all the way through the game. So, but we've got to execute better in the second half, not turn the ball over.
That's Tennessee head coach Jeremy Pruitt. The Vols looking for their first SEC win as they host Mississippi State at noon tomorrow. A couple of the notes regarding Tennessee. So the volleyball team is hosting LSU. That is tonight at Thompson Bowling Arena. Tennessee golf. They're playing the Bank of Tennessee Intercollegiate. That is at Johnson City, hosted by ETSU. 15 teams are in the field, 3 from the SEC. And the Vols, in terms of soccer, they won against Georgia 1-0 last night, the 5th consecutive shutout over Georgia. How about that? Next up, at Missouri on Sunday. So that's a look at other Tennessee sports. I do want to thank the folks at Oak Ridge Nissan for having us here, the Rocktoberfest sales event. Great deals on a variety of vehicles here. You need to come by and take advantage of it. Also want to tell you that as far as later tonight, we will have at 9:90 a.m. Jefferson County at Bearden, FM 99.1. It'll be West Green at Catholic High School. So those are the two games we're carrying tonight. And also on Tennessee Sports Night, you will have Will West and Joel Silverberg as your host, and that is on Sports Talk FM 98.7. So keep it right here for all of that. Thank you for listening. This has been Sports Talk on the Sports Animal.